Hello and welcome to the NBA Outlet presented by OTGBasketball.com. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me, as always, my co-host, Corey Waldron, and special guest, Mark King, video content producer for SB Nation, as well as an editor for the SB Nation Grizzlies blog. What's up, guys?
What's going on, man? Thanks for having me.
Nick, pleasure as always. Mark, welcome to the show. And we get to break down and see if this Grizzlies team will actually win 50 games this year.
Yeah, definitely talking Grizzlies today. Before we preview for next season, we're going to look back at last year. But a quick reminder, you can check us out on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, Google Play, and Dash Radio. But looking back at last season, 22-60, you know, the 7-4 start. Then after that, it kind of went downhill. Mike Conley was injured. Fizdale was fired. What were your thoughts on last season?
Oh, last season was kind of a train wreck. You know, it was a crazy season. There were so many things that happened in just one year. Like you mentioned, it started off insane. They beat the Warriors. And then, you know, Mike Conley kind of went out. Mike Conley was never really himself, even through that stretch, that first really hot start. And then Fizdale gets fired. They promoted Jamie Bickerstaff to interim head coach. So, you know, there were a lot of things that happened. It was definitely an interesting season, and there were a lot of storylines, even though they weren't very good. They only won 20 games in the whole year. But there were still a lot of storylines to follow. There were some young guys to watch and to see what they could do, but definitely an up and down season for sure. Mostly down.
Yeah. This was actually one of the for sure teams that me and Nick got right on the last preview series. We had said that this team is going to depend on Marc Gasol and Mike Conley's health. And then, as we know, Mike Conley got hurt, and this team just fell apart. And obviously, Fizdale got fired, which I'm still a little bit, like, upset about. I'm still not happy that he was fired because I just don't think you choose Marc Gasol's side over Fizdale's side in that situation, whatever the case may be. But as you mentioned, Mark, you know, a lot of these young guys played well. Like, Dylan Brooks, I thought was pretty impressive. You know, for me, I mean, obviously I'm a Pacers guy, Mark. And, you know, Tyreke Evans caught my eye all of last season on Memphis. He really reinvented himself. This is probably the best year that Tyreke Evans has had to date. And he ended up getting, you know, $12 million a year for the Pacers this last offseason. But it was, you know, it was unfortunate because anytime you lose a star like Mike Conley, you're destined to struggle, especially in the Western Conference. And this team just fell hard.
Yeah, especially at the point guard position.
Plus, Mark, Chandler Parsons is very disappointing.
Yeah, now that's a beautiful contract. But, Mark, what were your thoughts on Fizdale's firing? How did you feel about it? What was the vibe around the Grizzlies?
You know, I was happened to be in the locker room the night that after that game, and you know, Marc Gasol is a cornerstone for this franchise, and it's not the first time that he's had problems with coaches, and it's not the first time he's gotten a coach fired. It's the first time that it's made national news because it was a head coach and a head coach that everybody thought was a good basketball coach. But let's be real, you know, Fizdale wasn't great in his stint in Memphis. You know, he didn't have that long, but his record was not great. So it was really still up in the air if he's a really good coach, and it still is if he is a good coach or not. I landed on the side that I think he is a good coach. I think the players like him, the players like to play for him, but him and Mark could not get it together. And that night, you know, Mark, he went out of his way to say comments, and he went out of his way to make sure people knew that he was not happy. I mean, generally, Marc Gasol will talk for a couple minutes, and he's pretty quick to get out of the locker room. And that night he stayed, and he deliberately asked questions or answered questions, the same question over and over, just to, you know, really send that point home that it was a very strange night. And then once I got home, I think it was not that long afterwards that, you know, during the middle of the night, they fired Fizdale. So, you know, Marc Gasol, like you said, you probably shouldn't choose Fiz over Marc Gasol, but with a franchise like the Grizzlies, you kind of have to. There's only one Marc Gasol that's going to stay here and play and be that player for the Grizzlies and be that franchise cornerstone. And there's more than one David Fizdale. So, I get it. I don't necessarily probably agree with it either. You know, I think they should have given him more time. But if you're going to have to choose between the two of them, you're probably going to choose Marc Gasol.
I have a question for you, Mark, not to cut you off, Nick. Are you not, I mean, this is just outside looking in. Are you not concerned at all for Marcus Gasol now going to be 34 and heading into, you know, the later part of his career and the, you know, at a position that seems to be getting, you know, faster and faster, and he's kind of a throwback big man?
Oh, absolutely. You have to be concerned that Marcus Gasol is declining rapidly. And just the way and the game's moving away from what the Grizzlies are trying to do. And my concern, absolutely. But you have to look at the other side of the coin on that, and you see a lot of things where people should say, they should just trade Marc Gasol, get what you can for him. But the problem is, you know, what is Marc Gasol really worth these days? And I don't think that Marc Gasol is as worth as much as the Grizzlies think they can get for him. And once they test those waters and figure that out, I think he's worth more to them as a franchise in ticket sales and in fandom. Just people, general fans of the team, what he means to the team. I think he's worth more to the franchise. That right there is worth more than what you could probably go get for him, you know, a late first round pick or whatever. So, I mean, I think, you know, you do have to be concerned with him, but at the same time, there's not a whole lot of other options for the Grizzlies. This is a small market team. It's a team where you cannot attract big free agents. You have to build your team to the draft and through trades. And if you have a guy like Marc Gasol who's willing to stay here and play for this team, I still think that's a better option than trading him and getting some crappy draft pick or some crap players with what he means to the franchise as a whole.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Especially at this time, his value isn't super high. But looking back at the season, what would you say was the highlight of last year for the Grizzlies?
Oh, gosh. There wasn't a whole lot of them, I can tell you that. I'd probably say Dylan Brooks. Dylan Brooks was probably the highlight for everybody, just to kind of see he kind of got thrust into a starting role. That's probably not what Dylan Brooks is long term. He's probably more of a fringe starter role player, but that still remains to be seen. But what Dylan Brooks did as a whole throughout the season was really, really interesting to see him develop. Starting the season, he wasn't very good at shooting the three ball. And when you look at the end of the season, he shot that way more efficiently. He shot it way better. He understood the offense way better. He understood what Mark wanted him to do a little bit better on offense and defense. So seeing that progression of a second-round pick for Dylan Brooks into a legitimate role player and possible starter this year, and that kind of remains to be seen as well, but into a legitimate NBA player from second pick to that at the end of the year was probably the highlight of the season, just watching him progress throughout the year.
Yeah, I think, I mean, for me, it was Tyreke Evans and how he played. But I think for the Grizzlies long term, you're spot on, Mark. It's got to be Dylan Brooks, second round pick. Obviously, he played all 82 games, started for 74 of them, played big time minutes, and he looks like he could be, you know, the small forward for this team going forward, especially because Chandler Parsons just can't seem to stay on the court. I think personally for me, it would be Tyreke Evans because I just think he was, you know, he made them at least somewhat interesting to watch with how he played. But going forward, Dylan Brooks definitely has my attention going forward.
Yeah, I agree. I think Dylan Brooks is the highlight for me as well, being a second-round pick. I also like some of the toughness he provided. I remember a game against the Nets, he kind of got into it with Damari Carroll, which I thought is always good from a young guy not backing down. As well, a shout-out to my guy Marshawn Brooks coming back into the NBA. I know it was only a seven-game stint, but dropped 20 per game. I thought that was pretty cool to see that. But on a negative note, what was the most disappointing thing of last season?
The whole season? Because I'm not sure if that could be an answer, but I mean, you know, there are a lot of disappointments in a 20-win season. But I'd say the most disappointing thing for probably the fan base and myself is not getting rid of Tyreke Evans when you had the chance. You know, Tyreke Evans was never going to come back this year. He was never going to come back because the Grizzlies were never going to be able to pay him $12 million. And I had pegged him at about 10 to 12 all year long, and they couldn't even pay him 10. So he was never coming back. It was a one-year deal for him to get a better contract, and the Grizzlies should have traded him for anything. They should have traded him for a ham sandwich if they could have. And they refused to do that. You know, and down the stretch, he kind of fell out of favor. He got into some arguments with some coaches, and there's some other stuff going on. But you know, that them not being able to ship off Tyreke Evans for at least, you know, second round picks, and the Grizzlies' response to that was that the front office response was that the second round picks didn't matter. And I see to our last point, i.e. Dylan Brooks. You know, you tell me second round picks don't matter, and that's just not true. So you know, that was probably the most disappointing season thing for all fans. Probably that's what people were most mad about. I know that for sure. You know, not getting value for an expiring deal, especially when you know that guy's he's never coming back because you couldn't pay him. You didn't have the money to pay him. So I would definitely lean on that.
Yeah, I think it's like a combination of three things. One, it's the Mike Conley injury, because of course that sucks. It's the fact that Chandler Parsons is making $24 million a year and the guy can't stay on the court. And when he's on the court, he's just slow and doesn't look good. And then lastly, like you just mentioned, Tyreke Evans. You know, they sat this guy like a week before the trade deadline. Like, it felt like this guy was already gone. They were going to trade him away. And then, like, I remember seeing all the reports saying the Grizzlies only want a first-round draft pick in exchange for Tyreke Evans. And I was just thinking, like, why? Like, why would you not just get something in value back? And like you said, you know, Dylan Brooks, second-round pick. You can find stuff in the second round. Draymond Green was a second-round pick. Not that it happens often, but there's still value in having those kind of assets just to let a guy walk at the end of the season. So for me, it's a combination of those three things.
Yeah, you guys are pretty spot on. I mean, you have a player, you know you're not going to keep him. You know you can at least get some type of asset. If it's a second-round pick, maybe it's a young player or something, you pull the trigger because why? Now you just wasted and you lost him for nothing. But I think the Mike Conley injury for me, obviously being that point guard and guards being so important in the NBA, him going down, it pretty much signaled the season was over and it kind of just stunk for Memphis. But moving on to next year, looking at this year's ranking by the OTG staff, the Grizzlies are coming in at number 20. What are your thoughts on this ranking? Is it fair, too high, too low? What are your thoughts?
I think that's pretty fair. I mean, they're still a team with a lot of unanswered questions. They're still a team that they don't even know who's going to start at the two-guard spot. So they're still a team that just don't really know what's going to happen this year. And it's the same thing as last year. You know, this is the Grizzlies are basically like a house of cards. You know, they're built on Mike Conley and Marc Gasol, two guys who historically have not been healthy. Mike Conley, especially in the later part of the season, has not been healthy at all. He's a small guy, gets banged up because he's in the lane a lot. So, you know, it's a team that's got a lot of questions, and we don't have a lot of answers at the moment. We'll get those in training camp and preseason, but you know, there's a lot of questions to be answered as far as, like I said, who's going to be the starting two guard? What are you going to do with Chandler Parsons? Is he going to come off the bench? Is he even going to be anything at all? Is he going to be any value to you at all? So I think 20 is fair. I think there's a lot of teams above them, especially that got better in the Western Conference that you know was going to be good. And a lot of teams that probably have the same answers, but probably have the same questions, but have a little bit more better answers at this point in the season. Or at this point in the offseason. And there's a lot of teams in the Eastern, you know, you got to think about it. There's probably at least seven other teams in each conference better than them. That's 14 teams. So, I mean, I think that's pretty fair. I mean, you know, I don't think that's probably too high or too low. I think that's probably right on.
I think it's pretty fair as well. I think they have to go a couple spots higher if they're going to win 50 games. But I think this is pretty fair, especially coming off last season. We have to see how Marc Gasol looks. Another year older in this current NBA. We have to see how Mike Conley looks. I mean, Mike Conley has had some pretty serious injuries the last couple of years. And I always get concerned when, you know, the injuries start piling up, especially for a guy like Mike Conley, who, as we know, is super important to any success this Grizzlies team is going to have.
Yeah, I like 20 for them as well. Kind of like Mark said, there's a lot of questions you don't really know. You know, some of the questions could be answered in a positive way. They also could be answered in a negative way. So by, you know, halfway through the season, I wouldn't be surprised they're up a couple spots, down a couple spots. There's really just a lot of unknowns when you look at this Grizzlies roster. Moving on to this year's additions, we're going to start with the draft. Number 4 overall, they selected Jaren Jackson. You know, some people pegged him as maybe the most talented guy in the draft with the most potential, the highest upside. You know, had a really nice summer league. What were your thoughts on selecting Jackson?
You know, going into the draft, that's not the guy I wanted. I'm honest about that. And I was a Luka Doncic fan, still am. I think he's going to be a good player. But with him not being there, with the people that had on the board and where they were selecting, I think that Jaren Jackson was the correct choice. He was the best player available. And I believe in always select the best player available. No matter position, you'll figure the rest out later. Because it doesn't hurt to have really good basketball players on your team. That's never a bad thing. Jaren Jackson, you get to see him in summer league, and you really see a lot of things that he can do. And so it got me. I came around pretty quickly once I saw him play. Once I saw him on the court, there's a lot of things he does that you don't really even notice. Like his passing ability has not been talked about a lot. It's very underrated. His pocket passes, a lot of the things he tried to do in summer league didn't work out, but that's okay because he saw the cutters going down the lane. He saw the guys flashing back behind him to the 3-point line. Passing out of the post was a really, I think, an underrated skill that didn't get highlighted a lot or talked a lot by people. And I think he'll learn a lot from Marc Gasol. Because Marc Gasol is a very, very high basketball IQ player. That's how he plays. He likes guys like that. And Jaren Jackson is the same way. He's a very high basketball IQ guy. So I think he'll learn a lot from Mark very quickly. But I think he'll progress quicker than most people think. I think he'll surprise some people how quickly he progresses this year. He's my pick for Rookie of the Year, just not because he's the Grizzlies player, but just because I think he will adapt to the game quicker than most of these guys will. I think he's got a skill. He's got higher upside than everybody else in the draft. So I think that he's only 18, so he's only going to get better. And it wouldn't surprise me if he's starting, 10 games in for the Grizzlies. So I like the pick. I didn't like it on draft night, but that's just that didn't break the draft didn't break the way I thought it was going to, the way I wanted it to go to for the Grizzlies. But I think in that situation where they were. Players on the board in their spot, they did exactly what they should have done.
Yeah, I didn't know a lot about Jaren Jackson going into the draft. I don't watch a ton of college basketball, and I didn't know what to expect. And then, of course, I started watching the Vegas games. I think he tore it up the first game. Being able to hit 3-point shots, the ability to stretch the floor, and he averaged 3.8 blocks per game in 24 minutes in summer league, which I know is summer league, so you can't really put much stock in it. But 3.8 blocks per game, or on average, is pretty damn good. I don't know where he fits in. Like you said, Mark, maybe he ends up starting at some point this year because I think he's perfect for today's NBA. He can play the five. You want to go smaller, which isn't really small. I think he's like 6'11". He can play the four, and the fact of the matter is, like you said, he can pass out of the post. He's a very good rebounder. He's got good wingspan, and he's young. This kid's got a lot of raw potential. That's what I remember hearing on draft night, is that there's a lot of upside. There's just not a lot of, what to expect yet from him. And certainly in summer league, he impressed.
Yeah, I like the pick as well. I like the skill set. I know some of our OTG draft guys were very high in Jackson. What do you think is best case scenario? Like, when he hits his peak, what is Jaren Jackson going to be?
I think his best case scenario is a very good defensive player with a decent offensive game. I don't think he's a guy that's going to go out and get 30 for you. But he reminds me a lot of Anthony Davis, but not as good an offensive game. So I think that's probably his direction for him, because he was also a guard when he was younger, so he has has good handles. He can dribble the ball well, pass the ball well. So, I think he's probably an Anthony Davis light with less offense. That's kind of, I guess, if he has a comp, I think that's probably his best comp.
Yeah, I like that as a ceiling. For me, I'm thinking more of kind of like a better Serge Ibaka, maybe a slightly better outside jump shot. But certainly the defense and the rim protection, I think Jaren Jackson is going to be a stud on that side of the ball.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to his rookie season. Moving on to the second-round pick that the Grizzlies don't seem to be that interested in second-round picks. Javon Carter, 32nd overall. What are your thoughts on him?
He's a defensive guy, and the Grizzlies, they kind of changed course. They had this defensive mentality for so long, and they try to change that with the hiring of David Fizdale, but then they preached this whole offseason about getting back to defense. And so the pick does not surprise me. I personally wanted Kerry Thomas in that selection. I think he went one pick later to maybe the Mavs, if I remember correctly. But so I'll be interested to see how that works out. Carter's a good player. It didn't really impress me in the summer league. I think he's got a long way to go before he's a solid player, before he's even a backup point guard. I will say this. I did see him. I went to the workout when he was here working out for the Grizzlies. He's got a really good, solid 3-point shot. Technically speaking, he's probably got one of the better shots I saw in all the workouts they had. So he's got that going for him, but he just, he makes a lot of mistakes. He doesn't really know where to get the ball sometimes. But he hangs his head on defense and working hard. So we'll see how he gets there. I think he'll probably spend a lot of time this year with the Hustle, which is their G League team affiliate right here in South Haven, next, you know, just south of Memphis. So I don't think he'll see a lot of time this year on the court.
This is a guy I actually like knew something about because he's played in college for 4 years. I like him. I think this guy was the perfect type of Grizzly. You know, he plays defense. That's what he focuses on. He's tough. He fits the culture the Grizzlies have always had. And like you mentioned his three-point shot mark. Looking at his college number, you know, he averaged 31% his first year, then 30%. And then his last 2 years, he averaged 38% from three and then 39%. So his three-point shot has gotten better and better as he's gotten older and progressed at it. So you like to see that. But I agree with you. He's probably going to spend a lot of time in the G League. And depending on how like Mario Chalmers and those kind of guys play out, we'll see what happens to him later this season.
Talking about more offseason additions, we're going to look at the trades they made. They acquired Garrett Temple and Dakari Johnson. What are the Grizzlies going to get with these two guys? Where do they kind of fit in with this roster?
Dakari Johnson is a guy that will most likely maybe not even make it through training camp. I'd be surprised if he does anything this year. But Garrett Temple, you know, that's a guy that I think is a solid veteran, is a high basketball IQ guy, something they've been trying to – You kind of notice that theme in all the things that they've done this offseason. They're looking for, you know, solid veterans, high basketball IQ guys, defensive-minded guys. And something that you get with Garrett Temple is a solid veteran, high basketball IQ guy, and is no slouch in shooting the ball. I mean, he's gotten consistently better shooting the ball every year. I think he shot like 38% last year from three or something, if I can remember correctly. Like, you know, he is a solid player that I think will slot in at the four, especially I think it's more of a Chandler Parsons issue as well. He will probably play a lot of that, three and four. So there are rotations where you might even see Jaren Jackson at the five, Temple Parsons at the four, or maybe even Kyle Anderson at the four. But Garrett Temple gives you a lot of flexibility to do those type of things in lineups. And I personally think it's a solid player.
I just want to correct myself.
And they only, I think they only sent out like, you know, from her correctly, they sent out like, I want to say
Ben McLemore, Deontay Davis.
Yeah, Ben McLemore. That was the Ben McLemore, Deontay Davis trade. So yeah, you sent out players that were total. I mean, Ben McLemore is terrible.
Yeah, he is.
And so is Deontay. Deontay Davis, we watched all season just look and just go, what do you do? I mean, if you can't make it on a 20-win team, you can't get minutes and get buckets on a 20-win team, you don't deserve to be playing. And so you take two crap players and you get a good player, solid player out of it. So for me, I think it's a win for the Grizzlies. I don't know what the Kings are thinking, but they let Ben McLemore walk just a few years ago. So I don't know.
As well, I correct myself, it's Shelvin Mack is the backup point guard, not Mario Chalmers, which I misspoke before. Garrett Temple, I mean, solid guy, obviously. He's a vet. He's a two-way. He plays defense. As you mentioned, he's got a good three-point shot. I think for what the Grizzlies want to do, which is compete, this is the right guy to kind of bring in. And, of course, you're losing Ben McLemore. And whenever I think of Ben McLemore, the only thing I think of is when he was on the Kings, I believe, still. And on, like, two straight possessions, Kawhi Leonard, like, stole the ball from him and dunked. And he got, like, pulled right out. He, like, got put in the game, two turnovers, he got pulled, like, right after. And that's, like, how you can – you know, just describe his career in an NBA moment. But I like Garrett Temple. It's a good guy. Finally, he's back in a winning type of situation since he's been stuck on the Kings. It was a good move for them.
Yeah, I thought it was a low-key nice move. You add a vet that can help you off the bench. And like you said, high basketball IQ guy, does things the right way, sets the right example. Not a bad move at all, especially for what they gave up. Looking at free agent signings, you know, the big move, Kyle Anderson, 4 years, about $38 million. You know, the Spurs did not match. What are your thoughts on bringing over Kyle Anderson?
I think it's a solid move. I think it's you're going to hear me say it a lot, but that's what the Grizzlies were trying to do, is just, you know, smart basketball guys, defensive minded guys. I will be a bit concerned when you have Kyle Anderson out there who does not shoot the three at all. And so that has been a concern, but that's half of the concern. And the other concern is, how well does someone like Kyle Anderson play outside of the Spurs system? And so that's always interesting to see. I still like the move. It's a young guy on a good contract. And that's what the Grizzlies have failed to do for a long time, is sign those middle tier guys that are younger, you know, you know, those restricted free agents that are younger, and sign up to good contracts, not to just outrageous contracts, but to long-term good contracts for younger, solid NBA players. And that in and of itself is a huge win. Whether or not he plays, you know, whether or not he takes a ton of threes or improves that aspect of his game, that doesn't matter. The part that you took a younger player, was able to get him on a long-term good contract away from the Spurs, that's a win for you as the Grizzlies, because they've never been able to really do that as a franchise, go out and sign those younger guys that are coming off their first contract, maybe their second contract, going into those 25, 26, 27-year-old guys. So I think it was a great signing for them. It's a good contract. I think even at the end of the contract, even if it starts to go south, it's a contract you'll be able to move if you don't like it 2 years from now, or even a year and a half from now, next offseason, if it just didn't work out, or two off seasons. It's not a contract that's unmovable. It's something that you can still move and get good, you know, get something in return without having to ship off another first-round draft pick to get off of Kyle Anderson. So I think it was a good move for them.
I think it was definitely a good move for pretty much almost everything you just said. And for me, I look at it too from a standpoint of you can't trust Chandler Parsons. So now you have, you know, Garrett Temple, Kyle Anderson, and Dylan Brooks, and any of these guys can fill that void if Parsons does, you know, have another injury or if he can't play well. You now have a platoon of guys who can play multiple positions, which also with how the NBA is, it's all about switching. And I feel like the Grizzlies have added a ton of defenders who can guard multiple positions, which is just crucial nowadays.
Absolutely. That's you hit it right. That's the other thing is, like I said before, you might see you might even see him play the four spot with Jaren Jackson at the five. So I mean there's a ton that they can do there. And the Grizzlies have some low key good shooters on the court. If some people like Marshawn Brooks work out, I mean, they're not terrible shooters. So there's some stuff they can do with the lineups that will be really interesting to see what happens with what J.B. Bickerstaff can do in his first full year as a head coach.
Yeah, you guys are pretty spot on this one. You know, he provides defense versatility, and the contract, like you said, Mark, is not bad. You know, worst case, you have to move on, or even if he's not a starter, you know, he's like your sixth or seventh guy off the bench, you're paying him a little bit under 10 mil. I don't think that's terrible, especially with the contracts we've seen given out. And I think they kind of got a little bit of an advantage because there wasn't a ton of cap space, there wasn't a ton of huge deals, so they're able to kind of swoop in and get Anderson. Looking at the other guys they grab, Omri Caspi and Shelvin Mack, both on one-year deals. What are your thoughts about these two?
You know, Omri Caspi is a guy that is going to probably not play a whole lot. But if you look at someone like Chandler Parsons was not bad last year in the games that he played. He just didn't play a lot. And so he was held out a lot of games because of sometimes the front office wanted to hold him out. He had some injury concerns, as he's had for several years. But when he was playing, he wasn't bad. I mean, he wasn't lighting it up, but he was getting you 10, 12 points a game. And that's kind of what you expect from Chandler Parsons at this point. You don't really expect him to go out and do anything, but 10, 12 points, that's a win. So I think Omri Caspi is a guy that will probably – those games where Chandler Parsons can't play because we know he's going to be hurt because that's his kind of – I mean, that's his body now. His body has failed him miserably, and that's sad because he was a good player. So Omri Caspi will probably be a guy that will fill those spots when either Chandler's hurt or can't play, or if he's having bad games. I think that's where you have someone like Omri to come in and fill those gaps. I'm not sure if he'll be, you know, a rotation player, but you never know. I mean, I think he's a good player. He can shoot the ball well. And so, that remains to see. I think the most likely scenario is he kind of fills those gaps when Chandler Parsons can't go. Shelvin Mack, I think, is a good player. I think it's a really good signing for them. The Grizzlies have notoriously had no backup point guard for the longest time. And last, the best point guard they've had is probably pre-injury Mario Chalmers. And so now you have someone like Shelvin Mack come in and is probably going to be able to provide the things they wanted to do with Mike Conley for so long. They want to play Mike Conley off the ball. They want to get Mike Conley open in more shots. They want to rest him on defense. They want to let him take a break on offense and just spot up and come off picks. So you put Shelvin Mack out there with him. You can let Mike Conley do those things. And Shelvin Mack's not a bad shooter either. He's very good at coming off picks and shooting the ball. He can get to the bucket. So I think he's a good player, especially on a one-year deal. He's going to have something to prove as well. So I think he'll probably have to outplay Andrew Harrison for the backup point guard spot, but Andrew Harrison is total trash, so I think he'll be fine there.
Yeah, I like Omri Caspi. Obviously a good three-point shooter. Yaplessly didn't play a ton last year being on the Warriors. But it's a good pick. I'm not a good pick, a good signing. I mean, this is low risk, high reward. He's not going to play a ton, but I mean, in any spot starts or spot rotation minutes, he should be able to take advantage. And then, of course, Shelvin Mack, the assist leader for the Orlando Magic last year. I think, like you mentioned, Mark, this is a really good backup point guard. He's been starting the last couple of years or spot starting. He offers a little bit. You know, he still has a decent three-point shot. He can play make a little bit. But like you mentioned, they haven't really had a backup point guard since Mario Chalmers. And with Mike Conley constantly getting hurt, it's not bad to have a guy like Shelvin Mack.
Yeah, I like the Caspi signing as well. I like the fact that he kind of gives him something a little bit different in terms of players. They have an offensive guy who can kind of come in. You know, if he doesn't play big minutes, no big deal. But when you need some shooting or some scoring, you bring in Caspi. And like you guys said, Shelvin Mack gives you a solid backup point guard. Really can't make any complaints, especially about that contract. Looking at departures, who they lost via trade, Jarrell Martin, Deontay Davis, Ben McLemore, are they going to lose anything trading away these guys?
Not at all. They only got better getting rid of those guys. I mean, you're looking at guys like Jarrell Martin, Ben McLemore, and Deontay Davis. Jarrell Martin had trouble. Jarrell Martin and all three of them had trouble even scoring the basketball or doing anything. Again, like I said, on a 20-win basketball team, if you can't go out there and get buckets on it when there are plenty of points to be had and plenty of minutes to be had, if you can't do that on a 20-win basketball team, and if you're Ben McLemore and you can't go out and you can't break in the rotation. I mean, there were games where he's never played. Games that he just sat out and it was DNP CDs every single one. If you can't break into the rotation on a 20-win basketball team, they don't need you. And they used this year to evaluate those players and made the determination in the offseason that they were better off without them. And I totally agree with that. I'm sure they're great people, but they're not good basketball players. And unfortunately for the Grizzlies, they drafted two of those basketball players one of the first round, one of the second. So, but at least they moved all their mistakes. They kind of admitted those mistakes, and at least they moved away from them. But I don't think they're losing anything. If anything, it only made them better they were able to just move away from Jarrell Martin. They took Dakari Johnson, that deal, but I don't think it'll mean anything, but with Deontay and Ben McLemore, they actually got a useful player, like we mentioned before, with Garrett Temple. So I think they were able to offload their bad pieces and actually get something out of it.
Copy and paste. I don't have any different thoughts, really.
Yeah, these guys obviously didn't work out. Like Mark said, they had a fair opportunity in the team they had last year. If you can't really crack minutes or prove you're worthy of the NBA, it made sense for Memphis to move on. Looking at the free agent losses, Tyreke Evans, Mario Chalmers, a couple more fringe NBA guys. Are they going to lose anything not re-signing these guys?
I mean, Tyreke Evans was so good. I mean, you guys spoke about it earlier. Tyreke Evans was so good last year. I mean, he is one of the few players that I've seen in this league that last year could literally get to the basket at any point that he wanted to. He could just get to the basket and score the bucket. And so I think that was one thing they always had tried to get for so many years, was a player like that that could get to the bucket anytime he wanted and get you points. And so, not making him a priority, I understand why they lost him, because they were never going to be able to pay him any money. And so I think that will be probably the most detrimental loss if they have any at all. And so there were a lot of points that he scored last year, and it's going to be very curious to see who picks up those points, where he was scoring 20, 25 points a game. Where do those points go? I mean, Mike Conley wasn't there, so obviously some are going to go to him, but someone else is going to have to pick up the slack there and also put the ball in the basket. So that's one of those questions that we talked about earlier that kind of remains to be seen. Is it going to be Marshawn Brooks? Is it going to be Dylan Brooks? Is it going to be Wayne Seldon? No one really knows at this point.
Yeah, I think you definitely missed Tyreke Evans for every reason you mentioned. He was a big part of the offense, and obviously, I mean, he had a career year. I mean, he has had some rough years the last couple of years with injuries and everything else, and he turned around his career. He was shooting like pull-up. I saw a crazy stat, and I'm not perfect on what it was exactly, but it was like the top pull-up three-point shooters last season, and it was Steph Curry, Kyrie Irving, and then number three was Tyreke Evans on pull-up threes. I don't remember the percentage, but he was in the top three of pull-up threes. And you just don't think about that in Tyreek Evans' games. And as you mentioned, Mark, he got to the rim with ease. I mean, he was just really good. He can play, you know, the one, the two, the three, which is also a big thing. Yeah, if they miss anybody, it's going to be Tyreek Evans.
Yeah, Evans definitely impressed last year. He took another step in his game. And like you said, Corey, providing versatility, being able to play the one, two, or three. And then if he's improved as a shooter, you know, we have to see him do it for another year. But the playmaking definitely there. If you have a playmaker and a guy who can shoot the three and get to the rim, I mean, you can't really ask for more offensively. But moving on to the prediction portion of the show, starting five on opening night for the Grizzlies.
I think the starting five will be Mike Conley, Kyle Anderson, Marc Gasol. It will be Jamichael Green at the four, most likely. And I'd say the most likely scenario is probably Dylan Brooks at the two. But depending on how camp goes, that's a slot. I think you might see Wayne Seldon in as well. But I'd say most likely Dylan Brooks, Mike Conley, Dylan Brooks, Kyle Anderson at the three. Jarrell Martin, or excuse me, not Jarrell Martin. Jamichael Green at the four and Marc Gasol at the five.
Yeah, Mike Conley at the point guard. We're all just botching these. Mike Conley at the one. I think Garrett Temple might get the start at the two. Dylan Brooks at the three. Jamichael Green at the four, and then Marc Gasol at the five.
I'm going to go with Conley, Dylan Brooks, Kyle Anderson, Jamichael Green. I think Jaren Jackson, like Mark mentioned earlier, will start later on the year. I think they'll go with Green, and then obviously Marc Gasol. What do you see being the biggest position battles?
I mean, it will probably easily be Jaren Jackson and Jamichael Green at the four, really, because you don't really know what Jaren Jackson is going to be. But I think that's going to be a huge position battle for them to really see who's going to be that starting four guard. And then the other token will be between Wayne Seldon and Marshawn Brooks. Now, both guys that have shown they can do things and shown flashes of what they can do during seasons. Wayne Seldon couldn't get really healthy last year. But before that, this is a guy that came right in, was guarding Kawhi Leonard in the playoffs and doing a really solid job of it. So I think those two guys, you want to see what they can go out, and they're the ones who probably have the most to prove to see if they can actually make it on the NBA team. They can provide what the team needs in scoring and passing in a two guard. And so those two position battles are going to be the most interesting things right off the bat from training camp through preseason. The first game is going to be what Wayne Seldon and Marshawn Brooks bring together, because you don't need them both. Once one shows you what he can do and you commit to one, the other one's almost expendable. And then same thing with Jamichael Green and Jaren Jackson. One's not expendable there, but they're one will have to show you who's going to be the starting four on opening night and moving forward. And then who is the better player overall? I think Jaren Jackson obviously is the better player overall, but how soon can he come along is really the question until he starts challenging for that starting position.
Yeah, for me, it's the wing position and then the power forward position. You know, because Dylan Brooks, Kyle Anderson, I think even Garrett Temple, who can play the two and three, I think he'll have a chance, because it depends on how much three-point shooting you want in the starting lineup and how much defense. And all three of these, and even Wayne Seldon, all four of these guys can do a little bit of everything, you know, between score and play defense. So it's going to be what kind of combination they want to throw out there and who's hotter. And then, as you mentioned, the power forward, I think it's spot on what you said. Jamichael Green's spot to lose, basically. You know, if Jaren Jackson comes along hot and heavy, and let's say he's in the conversation for Rookie of the Year, he's probably going to be starting if he's in that conversation.
Who's going to be the breakout starter for the Grizzlies next season?
The breakout starter. I'd have to lean towards Jaren Jackson. I mean, I think that would be the guy that we kind of expect to. If somebody kind of we don't expect to come along, I'd still say probably Wayne Seldon. I think he's a prototypical 3-and-D guy. He's got a really good shot. I think given a full season when he's healthy, I think he can be a solid rotational NBA player. So I'd probably have to say Wayne Seldon. I think he's a good player. Well, I've seen him play through summer league through his first year. You know, was hurt a lot last year, but I think he is the prototypical NBA player.
For me, I'm going to say Dylan Brooks. I'm looking forward to a strong sophomore year. Obviously, he ended the season on a high note. I think he had 36 points that final game in OKC, if I'm not mistaken. And I just think now in a bigger role, you know, he's got a year of the NBA under his belt. He's going to have Mike Conley alongside of him now, Marc Gasol, you know, Jaren Jackson. There's more talent on this roster now, and a guy who's already played pretty well in his rookie season on a pretty trash team. I just expect the surroundings to really help his game take another step.
I like your pick. I'm going to go with Kyle Anderson. I think you go after a guy like that, you sign him to a long-term deal because you have something in mind, and then him knowing he's going to probably have a bigger role with Memphis possibly, and then just kind of developing his game, being in a new situation. I'm looking for Kyle Anderson to kind of break out a little bit. But breakout bench player.
So I think Omri Caspi will probably be the best, or not the best, but I think Omri Caspi will surprise people. I think he will be a guy that will be able to play more and to contribute more than most people think. He's a good shooter. He's a high basketball IQ player. Marc Gasol will really like playing with him. So he's such a good shooter. I think he will be able to stay on the court in times where they need offense. So I think for him, I think he will surprise probably even me and be able to contribute more than most people think he will.
I mean, I made the mistake of saying Garrett Temple starts over Kyle Anderson. So I'm going to say Kyle Anderson is the breakout bench player. I think he probably will end up starting and not Garrett Temple, but I messed that up. I think Kyle Anderson is going to be good for them. Obviously, they went out and they got a Spurs guy who can play defense. How well he does offensively will be the only question mark. But I think he's the guy who's set to have a pretty big year in a bigger role. And then, I mean, I think Jaren Jackson is going to be a breakout bench player, but I think he'll be starting by January. So I'm not going to say he's a true breakout bench player.
Yeah, I'll just cheat and say Jaren Jackson because I know that he'll eventually start. But for the beginning of the season, I think he'll come off the bench and then kind of break out into a starting role. So moving on to the season prediction, best case scenario for the Grizzlies.
Best case scenario for the Grizzlies is probably around 43 or 44 wins. I think if they could maybe get to 47, but I don't think even if Mark and Mike are healthy, they get that far. I think they top out. I'll change it. I think they top out at 47 wins. I'd be surprised if they won 50 games. I put it that way. Even if everybody stays healthy the whole year, the only reason is I don't think it's necessarily them. I just think everybody else in the Western Conference has gotten so much better that it's going to be hard to top those guys. It's going to be hard to beat the Lakers three times. It's going to be hard to beat the Warriors four times. I mean, so I think it's more about the other people than it is about the Grizzlies. I don't think they got as good as everybody else did. And so I think even if everybody stays healthy, I think probably 47 to 48 wins is their top end.
All right, so I'm going to say best case scenario is 50 wins, only because that seems to be the expectations for ownership for the Grizzlies. So I'm going to say best case scenario is 50 games. That's everybody stays healthy. That's Jaren Jackson being, you know, top three in rookie of the year, maybe even winning it. And then guys like Dylan Brooks taking a step and those two cornerstone pieces of Conley and Gasol being healthy and relevant.
Yeah, I am definitely a little bit lower than you guys. I think 44 wins, but more so to what Mark said, it's not that I don't think the Grizzlies got better. I think the West is just so good, and having to match up with all those teams on a regular basis, it's going to be really hard to get over 44 wins. Worst case scenario for the Grizzlies?
I think the worst case scenario for them is Mike Conley getting hurt again or Marc Gasol getting hurt again, and they have to go out and play a season that doesn't matter. And then if they do that, I think probably the worst case scenario is for them to play a mediocre season with one of Mike Conley or Marc Gasol getting hurt again. They play a mediocre season, then they have to give their first round draft pick away to, I think, the Celtics. They take the draft pick if it's top eight protected next year. So that's probably the worst case scenario is playing a mediocre year and having like a ninth or 10th draft pick and having to give it away to the Celtics.
Yeah, I would say worst case scenario is probably, you know, 30 wins or, you know, between 25 and 30 wins. And like you mentioned, Gasol or Conley gets hurt. And then again, this team just kind of falls off the rails.
Yeah, I think worst case for me is going to be 30 or 32 wins. And, you know, an injury happens in terms of Gasol or Conley. I think they're a little bit more prepared this year in terms of losing a big name because they did make some nice additions. Obviously, Jaren Jackson being the draft pick. So I think 32 wins is worst case. But what's your actual prediction for Memphis next year?
I actually have them in about, I think I have them like 35 wins right now. And that'll continue to be my prediction until they show me something different. There's just too many questions for this team at the moment. There's a lot of scoring left out there to see. I mean, it's a great defensive team, or you know, in theory with all the players they put together, but they also got to show us they can score points. You know, they can't just be a good defensive team. So they have to be at least an average offensive team. And so there's still so many questions that it's hard to know if that's going to be the answer or not. So I have them right at 35 wins, and that'll continue to be that until they, you know, probably answer some questions in training camp and preseason.
For me, the actual prediction is I'm somewhere near 500. I think this team maybe wins 42 games. I think they are a slightly above 500 team if they stay healthy, that is. But then again, still, even being, you know, 42-win team or a 44-win team, it's not going to be enough, I don't think, to make the playoffs. But they're probably being competitive for that 8 seed most of the year.
I'm going to go with 36 wins. I think, you know, there's going to be a couple injuries here and there. They're a little bit banged up. And like I mentioned before, the West is just really tough. And then offensively, like Mark mentioned, are they going to be able to put up enough points to kind of match up with some of these teams and some of these offenses? I'm not really sure. So 36 wins for me. But moving on to the truth, what emoji represents the Grizzlies for you?
Oh, last year probably would have been the poop emoji. Probably the guy that is kind of like is kind of grinning with his teeth, kind of doesn't not sure what to know, not sure what to think about stuff. That's probably my take on the Grizzlies, because it's kind of so just on the edge right now. It could be good, could be bad. Not really sure where to go. Not really sure what's going to happen. So that's probably my take. I don't know if I explained it right, but that's that's probably the right one.
I have the one with the guy where he's shrugging, the hands up. Because, you know, the brass thinks it's a 50-win team. And, you know, I look at the roster and I think maybe. But then also I think, like, this could be, like, really bad if something happens injury-wise again. So for me, I'm just unsure of what I'm seeing.
For me, I'm going to go with the thinking face, you know, the pondering face. I'm not really sure, kind of like what you guys said, what to expect from the Grizzlies. I think they're kind of interesting. You know, how these new pieces are going to fit. How's Jaren Jackson going to do his rookie season? You know, what can we expect from Gasol and Conley? Are they going to be 100%? So I think the thinking face represents the Grizz for me. League pass rating, where do they rank 1 through 10?
I'd probably give them a 6 or a 7 just for the fact that you have Jaren Jackson on that team. And he could be a guy that comes along pretty quickly and be pretty exciting to watch. That's probably what I think I'd land on a 6.
Damn, a lot higher than me. Well, this should be higher than me. I'm gonna go with a 3.5. I'm not necessarily thrilled with how this team is probably gonna play with their pace. But you know, I'll probably tune into a couple games, but I'm not overly intrigued.
I'm gonna go with a solid 4.5. You know, not in the top half, but you know, almost in the middle. I think they have some interesting pieces, but you know, pace-wise, I want to see if they pick it up. They score a little bit more, which we don't know. Can they go defensive-minded? You know, we'll see what happens. But 4.5. Now, what TV show would you watch over the Grizzlies? Mark, I know you're a Memphis fan. You cover them. So this is kind of like a hypothetical. You have a gun to your head. What are you picking?
Oh, man.
By far the hardest question of the show.
This is the hardest. I should have probably researched this question a little bit more.
feel that way every show.
I'd probably say Billions show on, I believe it's on Showtime. That's probably the show I'd say. I would turn off a game to watch that. I probably have turned off a game to watch that show before. But either Billions or Ray Donovan, one of those two shows. Those are really good shows.
You're a Showtime guy, huh?
Yeah. I'm a Showtime HBO guy. I'm a fan of shows that we can actually curse and say things people would actually say in real life. So I'm a fan of that.
Always classic. I love HBO. For me, I'm gonna say Seinfeld. Obviously, it's old, but you know, I'm just not a huge Grizzly watcher, I suppose. So if Seinfeld's on, it's a funny episode. I'll probably tune in for that. Even though those aren't like aging well because they're so old now. They're like 20 years old every episode. They still have some funny moments.
Well, Mark kind of gave me an assist on this one because I really didn't have a show picked out. I'm going to go with Ray Donovan because I got into Ray and then I kind of fell off a little bit because it just felt like so many crazy bad things were happening. But it is an interesting show, so I might put it on over the Grizz. But any last thoughts you want to get in about the Grizz before we get out of here?
I think we have covered it as good as you can cover it. It's going to be an interesting year, to say the least.
Anything from you, Corey?
It's just I'm interested to see what happens if this team gets 50 or doesn't get 50. I just want to know what happens. I'm interested to know because of the ownership's high expectation.
I will say this. I feel like I'm the most interested I've been in the Grizzly season in a while, like just because of the new additions and how the pieces are going to fit and what type of team they are, because we saw them have such a drop off because of injuries last year. I'm kind of intrigued about what to expect because I really don't know if this is going to be a fringe playoff team, a bad team, but who really knows? But that wraps it up for today. Big thanks to Mark for hopping on. We really appreciate it. Mark, tell them where they can find you on Twitter and whatnot.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. You can give me a follow on Twitter at King_producer. So
pretty easy one right there. And Corey, always a pleasure to talk hoops with you. You can check us out on iTunes, Block Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, Google Play, and Dash Radio. Everybody have a great night.
Peace out, Knuckleheads.